Hello, welcome back to Moaning's mini moan series here on our YouTube channel. Today, as the title suggests, we are actually going to be going into a little bit of analysis here. This is a little bit different. A little bit of analysis of speaking about whether these three mythological women are actually crazy or if men really cause their own problems with this. So the three mythological women, as you saw in the thumbnail, are Medea, Helen and Clytemnestra. We will be talking about them in that order as well. And so I will also be kind of explaining their myths and all this kind of jazz. Because honestly, guys, the whole point of this series is that I just sit down unscripted, which is exactly what's happening now. I'm not sitting on my bed unlike last episode. I am actually sitting in a chair this time with the microphone just in front of me. And I just suddenly was hit with a pang of like, this is what the next episode will be. Because I was just thinking about it. Does anyone, that happen to anybody? Where you're just sitting about and you just start thinking about mythology? Maybe it's just me. And suddenly I was mad again, and so that is the premise of this whole weird video series, and therefore here we are recording it. So let's just get to it. Let's start with our first woman, Medea. Now Medea is constantly seen as crazy, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of half in that camp. I've got one foot in and one foot out. Okay, we'll explain her myth and we'll analyze it as we go along, just so that you guys can maybe not form your own opinions. Maybe you'll end up forming my opinion, which, like, great, we'll have a little cult here on YouTube, which is fantastic. And if not, then argue with me in the comments. I love that. Well, not, don't get aggressive, guys. Like, let's keep it a little bit nice down there, because sometimes people are just mean. So if you want to have a discussion, leave it in the comments. Let's talk about Medea. So Medea is associated with the Jason and the Argonauts myth, the Jason and the Golden Fleece myth, if we know that, hopefully. Hopefully that's all familiar to us. So Jason has to go in and get this fleece. It's never been done before. It's guarded by this mythological serpent creature thing. And no one has ever done it successfully. And so Medea falls in love with Jason and she helps him retrieve this golden fleece that her father has had guarded by this weird creature thing, right? Because her father is the king of this place. And Jason, a foreigner from Greece, a Greek, right? He just shows up and decides that he's going to do it. Which obviously is already a problem. So the fact that Medea first and foremost betrays her father because she loves the look of Jason is already a bit, but that's kind of minor compared to the rest of the story. We can kind of get past that because there are things that she does that certainly overshadow the deceit of going against her father. And also, I don't really want to get into the whole father-daughter relationship because we don't know. Maybe they had an awful relationship. Maybe he was really rude to her. We have no clue whatsoever. It's also worth mentioning, though, that Medea is the granddaughter of Helios, who is a sun god, a Titan sun god, right? And then Apollo takes over from him. So she's the granddaughter of that guy. So she's half divine, which the Greeks call her a witch. Here on Moaning, she's not a witch. We don't like to call her a witch, but let's call her a sorceress. That's a nicer way of saying that she's got magical powers, but oftentimes they are used for evil in regards to this myth, right? So we not only have the deceit of her father, but now we also know that there's kind of divine lineage in there, which means that this story really isn't gonna go well, okay? It just really doesn't. And when she's fleeing with Jason, her dad is obviously raging, and the first strike against Medea is being crazy, is that in order to distract her father from killing her and thus Jason, really, really Jason is what she's worried about, is that she decides to chop up her own brother and scatter him in the sea because her father must stop to pick up all the pieces. Now that, right off the bat, guys, that is mental, right? To be so in love with someone that you're willing to kill your own brother. Once again, I don't know, maybe she didn't get on with her brother. Maybe her brother was awful to her. Maybe he was a bit of a bully. Maybe he called her fat. We don't know. Could have been any of the above. But to kill him and to chop him up into little pieces, you've not only got to kill him, you've then got to view it and be like, right, he's gonna be chopped up into little pieces, we'll put a little bit here in the Aegean and we'll put a little bit there, put a little bit by the beach, so that way we can really distract my dad. That is screwed up. That is completely mental. That is out of like a true crime documentary over here that Medea has just put forward, okay? So it's a strike against her being crazy. However, we constantly have to keep in mind, is she crazy without loving Jason? So if she had not loved Jason, would she have still acted in that way? That is the question, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep that in mind as the story continues. So they now get to mainland Greece. They have successfully gotten there. Woohoo! Medea starts her new life with Jason. She is thrilled. She is so happy. They have two kids together. They move to Corinth. Okay, they're exiled to Corinth. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But they get to Corinth either way. And the king of Corinth has a daughter. Her name is completely irrelevant because she's about to die anyways. But Jason decides that it would be better if he married her. So he's like, well, I have to divorce Medea. So he goes home to Medea and their two children. And he's like, look, honey, this is what's going to happen. Because this would actually benefit my career better if I married her. And I could possibly be king of Corinth. This would be fantastic. And she's already agreed, by the way, she's agreed that the kids can live with us. So you don't even have to worry about that. You can just go off and have a new life and have a new family if you want to. Right. First off, Jason certainly elicited a really bad reaction from Medea in the way that he came at this. He should have come at this with like much more emotion rather than logic. This is not a good situation to begin with. Strike against Jason for being a problem, right? And so Medea responds saying, who the fuck do you think you are? Rightfully so. Who does he think he is? So she's like, I had to sacrifice everything. I chopped up my brother. I betrayed my father. I cannot go back to where I'm from. That's not an option because everybody will hate me and possibly kill me. So I'm stuck here. And I did it for you, and now you're going to leave me for some princess bimbo. Sorry, actually, we don't know if the princess is a bimbo. I probably shouldn't say that. And Jason, instead of starting with, I'm so sorry, I understand that you're hurt, let's talk about this, which, you know, then we could say that Medea's just crazy. No, Jason antagonizes the situation. And in fact, he turns to her and he says, really? You should be thanking me for bringing you to Greece at all. At all. Because, and his logic for this, is that he says, I took you from an uncivilized place, which is where you were from, to civilized Greece, and you wouldn't have got here without me. So really, you're welcome. Oh, Jason, you are in uncharted waters here. This is not good. And obviously Medea reacts in the way that we think she would, and she goes ape shit. She screams, she yells, and then she plots to kill her own two children and Jason's new wife. And she does that. She kills both of her children. She does, in the Euripides play, by the way, guys, if you guys are listening to this thinking she's heartless, she does say how difficult it is, okay? She does tell us that. She says, it's going to be more difficult for me than it will for anybody else involved. It'll be harder for me than for the kids who are dying. It'll be harder for me than for Jason. You know, these kids are my pride and my joy. But she murders them anyways because she's like, fuck Jason. I'm going to kill everything that could possibly make him happy. And his new wife. She's like, you can all die. So given that, a little bit crazy, right? But could Jason have made the situation better? Abso-fucking-lutely. He could have made that situation way better by literally just saying, hey, Medea, I understand. Completely understand your pain. Let's talk about it.
But no, Jason had to be a dick.
So, is Medea crazy? I think, here's my personal opinion based on that story, I think that Medea was probably a little crazy beforehand given that she killed her brother. However, I think that Jason certainly pulled out the crazy from her. He could have diffused the crazy, right? He could have completely diffused crazy in Medea by literally possibly not leaving her for his own personal gain. Like, one, fucking rude, Jason, excuse you. Learn to love Medea after she did all those things for her. Also, you should learn to love her out of fear. How did he not see that coming? This is also part of the myth. How did he not see that she was going to murder something really important to him or someone really important to him? Her kids, a bit much, but she probably would have murdered the woman anyways. Even if she had decided not to kill the kids. She just killed her brother and Jason saw her do that. Why is he shocked? Right? Like, why is he shocked by this? And so is she crazy? Partially. I think that Jason didn't help the situation. I think it's half and half. I think she's half crazy and her crazy was triggered and made way worse because Jason was a dick. That is my personal opinion. Okay? If you guys have a different one, if you just think that Jason is completely devoid of blame, which if you do, check yourself because, hello, did you just listen to what I just told you? So leave it in the comments though, we'll have a little chit chat down there because we should really roll into the next woman. The next woman that we will be discussing is Helen. Helen should really ring a bell for you guys because Helen is often noted as Helen of Troy. She was once Helen of Sparta, right? So she's actually married to the Spartan king. Now, Helen isn't necessarily labeled as crazy. Let's start with this. I included her in this because she is often blamed for all the problems that men then have to sort out because Helen caused all these problems. And obviously women cause problems and men sort it out. Like, when in history has that ever happened? Name me one case, one actual case, not this case. Because Helen is often seen as the problem because she was so beautiful that men couldn't control themselves around her. How is that her fault? Let's start with that. How is that her fault? Okay, let's start with the first myth of the fact that she was first and foremost, she was abducted by Theseus, okay? So she's so beautiful because she's the daughter of Zeus, right? Zeus had sex with her mum when he was a swan. Mythology is a weird place to exist, but She ends up being abducted by Theseus because he kind of likes her. And then she says like 5 words to him and he finds out that her brothers are coming to get him. And so he drops her off somewhere. Theseus has a habit of doing that. This is why we don't like Theseus. You can listen to that episode too. But Helen then is set to marry one of the kings, right? So her father puts her up basically and is like, hey, my daughter is of age to get married. And all the kings of Greece, they come to court her, all the suitors. They want to marry her so badly. And they bring all these great treasures. And so they all have to agree, Odysseus puts forward, that all of them should agree that whoever gets chosen to marry Helen, the other ones will defend him if anybody tries to steal Helen away from him. So they already presumed that someone was going to try and steal Helen. Not because of what Helen did. It had nothing to do with Helen walking away. No. But in case another man thought she was so beautiful that he too was going to abduct her. Right? So all the Greeks agree to this. Let's bear this in mind. All the Greeks are like, yeah, this is a great plan. That way, even if somebody decides to steal Helen, he's probably going to die because all the rest of the Greek kings will come and kill him. They did not take into consideration that possibly a foreign king, a foreign prince even, would come and kidnap her. Right? That didn't, to be fair, why would that cross your mind? So when Paris comes, they're all a bit like, well, we didn't prepare for this. I guess we're still gonna go fight in Troy. Now, Helen leaving though, the movie Troy from 2004 would have you believe, this film is awful, it's a snooze. Quote unquote from Natalie Haynes, it is a snooze, and I agree, I have a whole reaction to it. But that movie will have you believe that Helen was so in love with Paris and Paris was taking her away from Menelaus. No, that is not what happens in the Iliad, and that is the source that I'm using for this video in case there are classicists listening. So we know the way that this myth is going to go if you're a classicist. If not, the way that it goes is that there's actually a judgment of Paris where Aphrodite says to Paris, hey, if you say that I'm the most beautiful goddess in the entire world, I will give you the most beautiful woman in the entire world. Perfect. An eye for an eye. And Paris, obviously, being a man, is like, cool, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. Where is my prize? And she brings Helen over. Helen in the Iliad has absolutely no say in this. No say. She is just picked up by the goddess. She is told to do everything by Aphrodite, even throughout the book. Helen hates Paris. And yet Aphrodite shows up because she loves Paris. We don't know why. Well, I mean, because he said that she was most beautiful. But in all, Paris is awful. He's a wimp, right? I totally understand why Helen hates him. But Aphrodite is the one who's like, hey, go and have sex with Paris. You know, she's the one who tells Helen to do everything. So it's not, Helen has absolutely no say in this whatsoever. So the fact that people then have the audacity, men have the audacity to look and say, Helen caused an entire war.
Well, no, she didn't. No, she didn't. It was the fact that men couldn't keep it in their pants. It was the fact that men believe that they are entitled to women's bodies. That is the problem with that myth.
Whew, didn't see that going there, did you guys? That is the problem with that myth. Now I know that there are some people who are listening going, well, there are some versions where Helen gets up and she waltzes over to Troy.
Still kind of no. We need to bear in mind the societal restrictions that Helen was put under. So the fact that a woman could just say no to a man.
Paris shows up in Sparta and he's like, hey, Helen, get in my boat because we're now going to get married. You think she could just say no? Like, this is not the society with which that could happen in. That is not what could have happened. If she had said no, she probably would have been pushed onto the boat anyways. Probably. Or killed. That too. Could have been killed. Or tortured. Who knows? Any of the above. Because the ancient world didn't really give a shit. So, she couldn't have just said no. That's my argument towards that. Societal structures in 1200 BC, which is when this is set, didn't really say that Helen could just walk away from Paris. So it wasn't her fault. And if there are still people listening to this saying it was still Helen's fault, think about the narrative that you're pushing forward if it's Helen's fault. That someone who is beautiful, naturally beautiful, right? In the time, there was no surgery, no breast augments or anything like that. So she's naturally beautiful. And the message that you're putting forward by saying that Helen is at fault is that if a woman is beautiful, she's asking for it. That is the message that you're putting forward. And that is why Helen was not at fault. And I am not in the camp of anyone giving Helen shit in that particular instance. In that particular instance of the Trojan War, she is not the crazy one. She is not to blame. It is men causing the problems. So our last lady that we're going to be discussing is Clytemnestra. Clytemnestra is a little bit more like Medea than Helen, okay? Clytemnestra is oftentimes called crazy. Now is she? She's a little bit more complicated than Medea because I kind of get it. but also not really. Let me explain. So there's a bit of the myth that's important, some context that is not part of the Iliad or the Trojan War, but an extended part of the myth that we know of from various other authors and what have you not. And that is the death of her daughter Iphigenia. So before Agamemnon can take all of the Greek ships to war, because he's the king of Mycenae, which is the most powerful palatial structure in Greece, right? So he's like kind of the overall king of the Greeks at the time. Before they can go to Troy, there are no winds, so they can't sail. So Agamemnon's a bit like, well, now fucking what? What the fuck am I supposed to do now? And so he calls on this seer to come, and he's like, hey, can you help me? Can you figure out what's going on? And the seer comes back and he says, right, so I gave Artemis a ring, and it turns out that you have killed one of her dears, and she's not happy, so she wants your daughter. And Agamemnon's like, she wants what? My child, my pride and my joy, my eldest daughter. I'm supposed to marry her off in like a year or two. She wants my daughter. And, you know, the seer's like, yeah, it's that, or you guys don't go to Troy, and Helen stays there. Helen, for context, is actually Agamemnon's sister-in-law. So she ends up marrying his brother. That is the king that she is then taken away from and put in the walls of Troy. So Agamemnon doesn't really have a moment of thinking about it. There's kind of like a beat, and then he's like, yeah, okay, someone sent for Iphigenia. It's pretty simple. He knows what's going to happen. He's a conqueror. He's a hero. That is, or quote-unquote hero. We know I don't like him. But quote-unquote hero. And so he just really values war. And he knows exactly what he has to do as a leader. No emotion, nothing like that. They send for Iphigenia. Iphigenia comes down to the port where they are, and she gets sacrificed on an altar. She doesn't know, obviously, otherwise she would have never gone. But she gets sacrificed like an animal. It's horrendous. It is awful. Euripides wrote plays about it. Lots of people wrote accounts and their own versions of it. It's horrendous. So Clytemnestra has reason to be mad at Agamemnon. That's sort of where I was getting at with this story. That really, she's already got a baseline reason. Like, think about it. Your oldest child is sacrificed. She's not in the know about this. She just hears, by the way, your husband sacrificed your daughter on an altar like an animal. Of course she's going to be fucking mad, right? So she then, and what also doesn't help, is that Agamemnon, during the time of the Trojan War, doesn't attempt to, like, make things better. You know, yes, he's in Troy. What could he have done? You know, now we have the equivalent of, like, you know, you could send a Domino's pizza to someone from any location with the note saying, I'm sorry. Or an Amazon gift. You know, you could send it with a note saying, sorry for killing our daughter. You know, any of the above, he could have done anything. Could have sent a messenger to literally just say, oh, Agamemnon wants you to know that he's sorry. Could have done that. He doesn't do any of that. Instead, he spends 10 years in Troy. And then when he comes back, he also brings a war prize, which is a woman called Cassandra, who does fuck all, by the way. She does not deserve her fate because she's been cursed. It's really unfortunate. But he brings her back. So take into consideration that Clytemnestra hasn't heard from him in 10 years. So she starts having an affair with somebody else. I don't actually condone this, by the way. This is the part of the story that I'm like, you took it a bit too far, Clytemnestra. But she said 10 years to get mad at Agamemnon. And then he comes back with another woman. Think about that. Whew. Imagine the rage that she's probably feeling. She probably calmed down somewhere in the middle. And then she got hyped up about it again because she had 10 years to think about it. 10 years. And so she said 10 years to be mad, right? This woman has said 10 years to think about it. And then her husband comes back, and maybe like a week before, she's like, you know what, he's coming back, I'll probably feel different when I see him. And he could have helped himself. And instead he arrives back with a woman called Cassandra, who's like half her age, half Clytemnestra's age. This is not going to do him any favors. And so then he comes home and she murders him. She, Clytemnestra, murders Agamemnon in the bathtub. She slits his throat. And that is where, you know, Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock get it from in all these horror films. When you kill somebody in the bathtub, you get it from Agamemnon, fun fact. Is Clytemnestra crazy? Or did Agamemnon cause his own problems? Now, strike one against Agamemnon causing his own problems was killing his own daughter. I mean, I'm sorry, that has to go to Agamemnon. That's him causing his own problems. But a strike against Clytemnestra is that she had 10 years to calm down and she didn't, meaning she probably has anger management issues. So that's her own fault. She should really calm down. I mean, her anger management was not helped by Aegisthus. This is strike two against her, is that in the 10 years after her husband killed her daughter, she then had an affair, which isn't going to help anything. Clytemnestra could have done nothing, and she could have been seen as the martyr. Like, look at how loyal she was the 10 years, look how great she was, blah, blah, blah. Oh, we can't even really do that with her because, you know, she sort of fucked that up by fucking Aegisthus. And so we have that. And then the killing of her husband. Right, so that is a strike against Agamemnon causing his own problems because, once again, he kills Iphigenia. So now we're kind of leaning more towards Agamemnon causing the problems, but the favor's going to go back in Clytemnestra because on top of killing Agamemnon, she kills Cassandra. Why did you kill Cassandra? Cassandra did nothing. Poor Cassandra. She just shows up and ends up being killed. Even though her whole family in Troy is killed, her city's sacked, she has a new home, and then she's killed as soon as she gets there. So it's pretty even. And I think that's the situation with Clytemnestra and Agamemnon, that actually it does take two to tango, in my personal opinion. I think probably with that story, they both sort of cause their own problems. Clytemnestra, by the way, she ends up being killed by her son. So then there's avenging on that front, and then it throws everything back out of whack. But at the moment, we do have a nice little even table for the two of them. So I think when it comes to Medea, I think it was a little bit like Medea was crazy to begin with, and then Jason triggered her, right? That was the conclusion from that. With Helen, not at fault. If you try to blame Helen, fight me in the comments in a really nice way, please, guys. We want a really nice, positive atmosphere here on Moaning. But go on, do it in the comments. I'm ready. And then when it comes to Clytemnestra, I think it takes two to tango. I think that Clytemnestra I don't think that she started as crazy, but I think 10 years of Agamemnon being away and not even sending a messenger to say Agamemnon says he's sorry, or like a flower or anything, that made her crazy. So I do think that one takes a little bit too to tango. So those are my conclusions about it. Were those women crazy? Were they not? It's actually down to you. Those are just my personal opinions. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this, because I have. I kind of like just sort of exploring these topics by myself at home. So yeah, thank you guys so much for watching. Please don't forget to hit that subscribe button and that bell icon below so that you know when we post another one. My name is Erica, and thank you guys so much for tuning in. So we'll see you next time.